We're delighted to be here today to introduce the second of our three podcasts talking about resilience. These are part of our Better Together Leadership Series for 2020. In the three podcasts, we're exploring how we define and understand resilience, how resilience can impact performance, and how we can develop resilient leadership teams in the age of disruption. I'm Jo Adrews. I lead our UK and I leadership practice at EY. And I'm joined for this resilience series by Mavis Dwar. Mavis is a cognitive behavioral psychotherapist with experience in mental health and education. And Mavis works in our EY talent team. Today, we're talking about why developing resilience can have such an impact on the way we perform through our ability to choose how we respond. Mavis, could you start by telling us more about why resilience has such an impact on how we perform?
Yes, I think it's such a good question. Why does resilience, or the ability to be resilient, have such an impact on our performance? It's because we often see resilience as something that we simply survive. We're simply surviving something. And I think because we're in this environment of constant change, with this fight and flight response we have permanently on all the time, we're constantly in this survival mode. So we are reacting to events rather than responding. And what that means is that the events have control over us rather than we have control over the event. Now, sometimes the events we do not have control over, as we know. But what we do have control over is the way in which we react or respond to them. So reacting to something suggests it's something that's quite automatic. And when we react to something automatically, it doesn't mean that it's always accurate. It doesn't always mean that we're reacting in the best way. When we respond to something, what we're doing is that we're consciously, deliberately choosing the behaviors and the actions that we're going to take in order to deal with what we are facing. Because we are in constant change all the time, if we do not learn how to consciously, deliberately be resilient, so that means choose the best strategies, the best actions, the best behaviors to help us cope with it, we are constantly going to be in that fight and flight response, which will deplete our energy resources, make it more difficult for us to keep going in the face of challenge. And in the end, we will stop being resilient. In order to stay healthily resilient, we need to engage that part of our brain that helps us see the bigger picture. We need to learn to adapt the way that we think about things. And what that helps us to do is be very present, very mindful in the moment, so that we are choosing the best way to deal with whatever's happening from minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day.
Mavis, just listening to that, it feels to me that you might be saying to us, are you saying to us that this resilience is something we can't avoid? We are going to need resilience at some point in our life.
Definitely, Jo. We are all naturally resilient, all of us. In my experience as a psychotherapist, what I do know is that everybody has been through some kind of challenge in their life. What that challenge looks like will be different from person to person. So we are all naturally resilient, but we're not all necessarily consciously resilient. So I think change and challenge is something that we have to actively embrace and even try to get ahead of it. So being resilient is a bit like driving a car. So if you think about a car, when you're driving a car, you have different types of mirrors. You've got your front window screen, which helps you to see where you're going. You've got your rear view mirror that helps you to know the history of the traffic behind you and anticipate what could be coming up on the side. And then you've got your side mirrors that help you to see what cars are around you, so that if you need to make a maneuver, you can time it and do it safely. When we are being resilient, we need to kind of do the same thing. We need to look forward to the future. So we need to anticipate an end point and something we're aspiring to in the future that's going to help us keep going in the face of challenge. We need to use our rearview mirror to think about challenges we've experienced in the past and how we've successfully overcome them and we need to draw those strategies to help us in the present. And that means using our side mirrors, which is about thinking about where we are right now in face of the challenge and what's the best way to maneuver and change safely so that we can still continue on our journey and come out at the end.
And Mavis, do you have any sort of particular examples of areas in the market that have had to do this recently?
I think the main one that I can think quite close to home has been in the retail sector. So we've heard for some time how there's been less footfall in the high street. And some of the local shopping centres are finding it increasingly difficult to attract people to do their shopping there, with more and more people going online. So what this is doing is it's posing an existential threat to retailers and particularly shopping centres. And one of the things when we're faced with challenge such as this is we can respond in one of three ways. So as I said, usually we can be triggered by a sense of threat because it's a change we're not anticipating or we find risky, so it can trigger off that feeling of threat. However, we can also see the change as a loss, so some kind of grief, because something that we wanted to always be there is no longer going to be there, it's changing. But the other way that we can perceive change is as an opportunity, so something in which I can actually benefit or get some benefit from, even though it's hard. So what I've noticed in the local shopping centres is that they've actually tried to perceive this change and this challenge they're facing around reducing footfall as an opportunity. And what they've been doing is they've been going around asking local people, how can they repurpose the shopping centre? What are the other activities people might be interested in coming to the shopping centre to do apart from shopping? With a view to building other types of businesses and rejuvenating the local area. So sometimes change can be not just a threat, it can definitely be an opportunity to grow and develop.
That is so interesting, Mavis, and certainly something I think we can all relate to in terms of some of us seeing a particular scenario as an opportunity and others seeing it as a threat. I'd like to thank you again for joining me. It's been really great to hear about how we react automatically versus how we consciously choose to respond and the impact that has on our lives. It's also really reassuring to learn we can develop resilience. I look forward to talking again soon in the final podcast in our 3-podcast series about resilience, where we're going to look at the characteristics of people with resilience and learn more about how we can build resilience in our leadership teams.